Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now, let's get started with Results Driven.
Good morning, hello, and welcome to my show, Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from my company, High Value Consulting. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, please give us a call at 484-431-2874, or you may visit us online at our new improved website, highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page and check out the past shows, and you'll possibly subscribe to our programs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. There's a question I get asked more than almost any other, and it usually sounds something like this. Am I behind? Sometimes people ask about their specific goals. Sometimes is it more of a general feeling or nagging sense that maybe retirement isn't as far away as it used to feel, or maybe the savings aren't where they should be. Today, we're going to try to answer that question honestly, with real data, with real strategies for what to do next. So let's bring on my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who always keeps these conversations grounded. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning, Kurt. It's great to see you. It's great to, you know, do this podcast with you. And you know, let's catch up a little bit before we dive in, because I'm excited about this. But how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, just the weather still stinks here in Pennsylvania. It's poured down raining one day and cold. And my mom would say damp. And yep. Then Sunday was fairly nice. Now it's overcast and rainy again here today. So in my experience here in the state of Pennsylvania, it never really gets nice till after Memorial Day. So.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and my least favorite word is moist. Right. So for some of our listeners out there, you're probably describing a moist spring. Right, Kurt?
Yeah, exactly. It's good for my yard's turning nice, really nice and green. Yes. That's great. And the flowers are starting to look good. But it's just that one of those you go out in the morning. Oh, I got to get a jacket. You're back in.
Yeah.
And then you go out and you go, oh, it's too hot. I don't need a jacket. And then you go, wait a minute, I should have brought my raincoat. You know, it's just like.
Yes.
Combination of things that are thrown at you throughout the day.
You never know how to dress. And yeah. I get it. You got to wear layers. Yeah. I mean, we are actually taking our engagement photos this week, Kurt. And
very
so
nice.
I'm very excited for that. I don't think my fiance is very excited, but we'll just besides the point. And it's bright and green. So I'm excited for that.
Good. Very good. I'm happy for you guys. And I hope that the weather and Mother Nature is in your camp.
So, yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, Kurt, I am excited for this show. And I think that you're right about this one, you know, is being just one of those topics that many people, you know, find a little uncomfortable. And maybe it involves comparing yourself to others and taking an honest look at your own numbers here. But I think that discomfort can actually be useful. So, Kurt, let's get into it.
Yeah, during the show today, we'll be pulling data and insights from a recent Kiplinger article that's headlined The Average Retirement Savings by Age. I want to say up front that it isn't about making anyone feel bad. I think the most important thing is that we can do today is give people an honest picture where the country stands when it talks about what to do about it. Because of the numbers tells a story, I believe understanding the story is a first step towards writing a better one for yourself.
I like that. You know, understanding to be able to move forward. And so let's start with the basics here, Kurt. When we say retirement savings, what exactly are we counting or looking at?
That's a great place to start. We're talking about the accounts people set aside specifically for retirement, including 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs, HSAs, which are health savings accounts used as investment vehicles, and after-tax brokerage accounts earmarked or earned for your future. We're not counting home equity or other assets in this conversation, just the money that's been intentionally put to work for retirement. And there's an important distinction in how we look at those numbers versus the median.
That makes sense, but can you break that down further for us, Kurt?
Yeah, the mean is what people think of the average. With this, you add everything up, divide by the number of people, and the median is the middle number. Half of the people are above it, half are below it. When you're looking at retirement savings in America, the mean can be pretty misleading because relatively small number of very wealthy households can pull the average way up. I think the median gives us a much more honest picture of what the typical American actually has. And the median tells a sobering story, but also a motivating one as well, if you let it be.
Yeah, good point. All right, Kurt, so let's get into the data specifically, which is not necessarily a fun word for many of our listeners, but walk us through what the Federal Reserve numbers show. I mean, age group by age group.
Let's start with the youngest workers or those under 35. The median retirement savings for this group is $18,350. The mean is closer to $49,000, which again is a big gap. Tells you that there's some high earners pulling up the numbers again. But for most people under 35, right around $18,000 is that magic number.
So how could someone feel about that number? I mean, that $18,000.
I think context matters a lot here. For a 25-year-old just finding their footing, $18,000 is a solid start, especially if it's growing in a tax-advantaged account. For a 34-year-old with higher income, it might be time to press the accelerator. But here's the thing. The most powerful asset someone under 30 has isn't money, it's time. And we'll come back to that, why when that matters enormously.
Well, let's move up. Kurt, I mean, how about ages 35 to 40 now? 44.
Okay, the median jumps to 45,000 for that group. Mean is about 141,000. So again, a wide spread. By the mid-30s to early 40s, I believe people should ideally have somewhere between 1 to 3 times their annual salary saved. For a lot of people, 45,000 is behind the benchmark. But it's not too late. It's never too late, not even close. The compounding engine is still running strong in this decade.
So, Kurt, now how about the ages 45 to 54?
Now we're in the thick of the peak earning years. Median savings, $115,000. Mean is $313,000. I think this is often a wake-up call decade for some people. The kids might be leaving the house, the mortgage might be more manageable, and suddenly people look at their retirement accounts and realize there's some catching up to do. The good news is that also the decade where incomes tend to be a lot higher and where their targeted contributions can make a real big difference.
Great point. I mean, yeah, you're right. Their income is typically the highest that it will be. Well, let's take a quick pause here and remind our listeners how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to get more information.
Basically, just give us a call at 484-431-2874, or you may visit on our new improved Lucid Media website, highvalueconsulting.org. The scheduled consultation only takes a few minutes. We're always happy to work around your schedule.
Now, let's get back into maybe some of these numbers here. And now let's address the home stretch, the ages 55 to 64.
This is the number I think deserves the most attention today. The median retirement savings for people ages 55 to 64, or about a decade or less away from retirement, is $185,000. The mean or the average is $537,000. But the median, or the number that reflects the most people in that group actually have, is $185,000.
What? That's crazy. So $185,000 is the median, but then, you know, the mean is $537,000. That's a huge difference. And that contrasts that against what people think that they really need to retire.
Exactly, Jack. And according to recent survey data noted in this article, the so-called magic number Americans think they need to retire comfortably in 2026 is 1.46 million. That's actually up $200,000 from last year's figure. When you put these two numbers side by side, the 185,000 median savings versus the 1.46 million target, you can see why this conversation truly matters and why so many people feel the way they do when they look at their statements.
Yes, and that gap is significant, Kurt. What about people who are already 65 and maybe older?
Jacqueline, two groups here, age 65 to 74. The median savings is $200,000, is actually a bit higher than the 55 to 64 group, which tells you some people are still contributing, growing their accounts in early retirement. Then 75 and over, the median drops to $130,000, which makes sense because people are drawing down their savings at this point. What I think is worth noting is that even in retirement, the picture isn't static. How you manage distributions, when you claim Social Security, and how you handle health care costs shapes the trajectory of your savings.
Well, what's the headline takeaway from all of these separate numbers? I mean, we've talked about a lot of different age groups and a lot of numbers here.
I think the takeaway is this, Jacqueline. Most Americans aren't on track to retire with the kind of savings that financial benchmarks suggest they need. And that's not a moral failure. It's a reality shaped by stagnant wages, cost of living pressures, life events, healthcare system that can wipe out savings rather quickly, and a lot of other factors beyond your individual control. But the data is what it is, and I believe that most helpful things you can do is look at it honestly and then talk about what actually is available to people.
So let's also talk about the why here, Kurt, because that's a major question. I think a lot of listeners are going to hear all of those numbers and wonder how we got here as a country.
A few reasons worth understanding first, and this surprises a lot of people. More than half of the American households report having no dedicated retirement savings at all. Zero. None. Now, when you look at people who are actively contributing to 401ks or IRAs, the number looks meaningfully better. The total assets of retirement accounts in the U.S. recently crossed $49 trillion, which is a staggering number, but the gap between consistent savers and everyone else is part of what makes the national picture so uneven.
Well, Kurt, why aren't more people saving then? I mean, isn't that the obvious question?
It's rarely because people don't want to. I think for most people, it comes down to cash flow, rent, childcare, healthcare, student loans, and the basics of life consume the budget, especially in their 20s and their 30s. And for a long time, many employers didn't offer retirement plans or offered plans that employees didn't understand or didn't trust. Automatic enrollment has helped a lot, but it is relatively a recent development.
Well, there's also a behavioral piece, right, Kurt? I mean, the way that we're wired to think about the future or the way that we're wired to think about money.
Absolutely. We tend to respond to what's urgent over what's important. Retirement is important, but it doesn't feel urgent until suddenly it does. By the time it feels urgent, some of the most powerful tools available, particularly compound growth over multiple decades, are no longer on the table in the same way. That's why I believe starting early is so critical. Not because the amounts have to be large, but because time is an enormous amount of the heavy lifting. In other words, you need more time on your side. There's no doubt.
Well, let's really dig into that compounding piece, because I think it's one of those concepts that people hear a lot, but don't always feel and, you know, really understand.
Here's a hypothetical I think really puts it in perspective. $10,000 invested at age 30, assuming a 7% average annual return, grows to roughly $106,000 by age 65. The same 10,000 at age 45 grows to about 38,000. Same money, same return, but 15 years of compounding makes nearly a $70,000 difference on a single $10,000 investment. Now multiply that across years of contributions, you start to understand why time is the single most valuable asset as a young investor has. I think that point can be made often enough.
Well, and Kurt, I feel like we talk a lot about the snowball effect, right? And just kind of the ripple effect. And in most cases, we talk about it maybe in a bad way, but I think in this way, it really puts it into perspective on how it can do the work for you, you know, and how it can really compound. And the flip side of that is that, you know, it's also never too late to do something. I mean, to just start the snowball, right, Kurt?
Right. The other side of this conversation is equally important. The compounding argument is not meant to make people who started late feel hopeless. It's meant to motivate people who haven't started yet. Because every dollar that goes in today starts compounding today. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. I think that applies perfectly to retirement savings as well.
Yes. And now let's get practical here, Kurt. So for listeners at different life stages, what could they actually do right now? What is the starting point?
Let's walk through it by decade because the strategies are a bit different depending on where you are in life.
All right. Well, you know me. Let's start with my age group, the 20s and 30s.
In your 20s and 30s, the single most important move is just simply to get started. Even small contributions matter enormously because of compounding. Two specific moves I think are worth highlighting. First, if your employer offers a 401k match, contribute at least enough to capture the full match. That's an immediate 100% return on your money before the market does anything. You can't beat that anywhere. Second is what I call the raise rule. Every time you get a salary increase, commit half of that raise to your retirement contributions before it even touches your checking account. Your take home still goes up, but so does your future, and you'll build a lifestyle expectations around money you've redirected. And I can give you an example. I have a client of mine. Her son came out of college, very young. He's getting married now, too. He's getting married this October. I'm going to Chicago. But I sat down with him because his mom asked me to, and he got a good job. And I said, I want you to start contributing 401k and do 15%. And he gave me that funny look like, oh, my God, what am I going to live on and this and that. So he started with 10. Now he's up to 15%. And he started this when he was 25 or 26, I think it was. And he's had very nice increases in his pay. And in a short period of time, he's went from what I call from zero to hero. He started basically just putting minimal dollars. Now it's 15%. He has $500,000. He's age 30.
Wow.
He's way ahead of his peer group. And he said the other day, he goes, I'm so glad I listened to you. Because he said, I don't miss the money. I don't miss it. There's your answer.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Because when you get used to, you know, a lifestyle, we talk about this in retirement, right? When you get used to a lifestyle, you don't want to deduct it or change that lifestyle. And so when you do get a bump in your, you know, salary or a bonus or something like that, you know, don't change your lifestyle. You're used to the lesser, you know, less expensive one, right? And so if you didn't know that it's there, then you won't use it. That I like that, Kurt. I love that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the second one is, you know, really subtle, but really powerful, what you're talking about.
Yeah, lifestyle inflation is one of the quieter enemies of retirement savings. People get a raise and their spending expands to match it. And the net change in their savings rate is zero. If you automate a portion of that raise before it hits your account, you sidestep that problem entirely. It's one of those strategies that sounds simple, but can add up tens of thousands of dollars over a career.
Well, what about people in their 40s, you know, that middle age group?
The 40s are what I think are the front loading decade. you're likely earning more than you were in your 30s. The compounding clock is still running. And if you push hard now, you can set yourself up to coast a bit later. For 2026, the 401k contribution limit is $24,500 for most people. And your cash, if your cash flow allows it, I believe maxing out should be a priority. And if you can do it early in the year rather than spreading it across the 12 months, you get more time in the market, which what we've established really truly matters.
Well, and there's also something called the 15-year horizon. Isn't that right, Kurt?
Yeah, I'd like to think of it that way. If you can aggressively fund your retirement accounts between 45 and 50, and the compounding effect over the 15 years could potentially double the balance, even if you have to scale back contributions later in your 50s to cover the life expenses. The goal is to get enough money working for you that you're not entirely dependent on continued contributions to reach your target. You want that portfolio to do some of the work for you.
Yes. And the 50s, as you've said before, Kurt, is the catch-up contribution decade.
This is really a valuable tool that we believe more people should actively be using. Once you turn 50, the IRS allows you to contribute extra money beyond the standard limits to a tax-advantaged retirement accounts. For 401ks in 2026, that's an additional $8,000 on top of the standard limit, bringing your total possible contribution to $32,500 for the year. For IRAs, the 2026 contribution limit is $7,500, with a $1,100 catch-up provision that brings your total annual contribution to $8,600. If you're behind, these higher ceilings can make a meaningful difference across the 10 to 15-year stretch.
I like that. And Kurt, is there an even more generous provision for people in their early 60s? I mean, that's pretty close to retirement.
Yeah, this one is generally underutilized. I think it's because people don't know it exists. Thanks to the recent retirement legislation, if you're between ages 60 and 63, there's what they call a super catch-up provision that allows you even higher contribution ceiling. For 2026, that's $11,250 in additional catch-up provisions to your 401k, bringing the total annual contribution limit to $35,750. That's a significant amount of money for someone in that age window who has cash flow to take advantage of it, first and foremost. It could be a real game changer in the final stretch before retirement.
It sure can be. Kurt, what about people who are already near or even in retirement? And that balance just isn't where, you know, they had hoped it would be.
When it comes to Social Security, the goal isn't just to delay. It's to figure out the right claiming strategy for your individual situation. And that takes some analysis. And I always recommend clients when they come in that we do an analysis on their Social Security with their comprehensive plan. So for many people, delaying does pay off. For every year you wait past your full retirement age, up to age 70, your monthly benefit grows about 8%. That's a meaningful government-backed increase. And if you're married, a higher benefit also means a higher survivor benefit for your spouse, which is an important piece of the overall financial picture. The right timing depends on your health, your income sources, and your household's overall plan. A financial professional can help model the options, find the approach, and make the most sense of your current circumstances.
Yeah, and that's a powerful lever that I think gets overlooked quite often.
It does. And one more thing worth mentioning is downsizing earlier than you think you need to. If the kids have moved out, you're carrying a home that's larger than you need, the equity in a home can, plus the reduction in property taxes, insurance, maintenance costs can free up significant cash flow. Some of that could go towards retirement contributions or simply reduce your monthly burn rate in retirement. It's a conversation worth having with your financial professional who can model it out for you in your specific financial situation.
Well, Kurt, that's a great way to frame it because it ties back to everything that we've talked about today, you know, including the compounding, which is the snowball effect, like I said, the catch-up strategies, Social Security timing, and just having an honest picture of where you stand. I mean, it all connects to one another. Kurt, do you have another story or examples that you could share with our listeners?
Again, it gets back to maximizing all the opportunities that clients have in regards to their 401ks or IRAs and deferring as much money for retirement, because it's better to have more money in retirement than less money by far. And Social Security, I don't depend on it. And I'd probably take it 70, I guess. But my point is, not everybody's fortunate, lucky, and blessed as I am. And I'm really grateful for that. But my point is, I share with them a lot of stories, a lot of opportunities exist for them to help them understand where their opportunities to do better lie. And I help them get where they need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you're right, Kurt. I mean, we talked a lot about numbers today and a lot about the median savings. But to know that the median retirement savings for those under 35 is only $18,350, just know for our listeners, you're not behind, you know, and you're right there and we're going to get you better. We are going to have, you know, help you through a process to get your those numbers up so you can enjoy your retirement and be where you need to be. I think retirement is one of those topics that people do push off, like you mentioned earlier, and it's just it's a nature of ours. But it also requires some balance. You know, Kurt, for me, I'm a saver. So everything that I earn goes into a retirement fund. And is that really, you know, balancing living now versus saving for later? It's really important to talk with your financial advisor and figure out maybe what the best numbers would look like for you, where your money should go, and especially consult them if you do get a raise or a bonus and maybe what the smartest strategy for you would be.
I think that's right. If anything we've talked about today has raised questions, whether you're wondering how to compare the numbers we shared, we'd like to sit down and take a closer look where you stand. And you can give us a call at 484-431-2874 or visit us online at my new improved website through Lucent Media, highvalueconsulting.org. And we can walk you through the single conversation. We can also take a look at all your statements and provide you with some advice, a snapshot in time where you're at, and give you a better understanding whether you're on pace or you're not for a solid, comfortable financial future.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely, Kurt. So listeners, you know, feel free to check out our past shows on our podcast platform. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music, and just search our show, Results Driven. And also give Kurt a call. And thank you so much for our listeners. And thank you to everyone who joined us today. You know, this topic is really important, and know that you aren't always behind, and there's always something that you can do about it. So these are important conversations, and we're glad that you're having them with us.
And it's never too late, and you always have time on your side.
Yes. Well, thank you, Kurt. And that does it for this episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt J. High.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.